we're not robots. We still need that time off. We still need to take care of ourselves.
Hello. Welcome back to Wild Business Growth. This is your place to hear from a new entrepreneur every single Wednesday morning, turning wild ideas to wild growth and struggling to say the tagline for your podcast. I'm Max Branster. You can email me at maxandmaxpodcasting.com. And this is episode 345 in Two Zigzags. Today's guest is Goldie Chan. Goldie is all over the internet. She is the founder of the agency Warm Robots. She is the author of Personal Branding for Introverts. And in this episode, we talk how she changed LinkedIn forever, her passions for everything from sea monkeys to K-pop demon hunters, and the crucial importance of touching grass and even touching a tree. It is Goldie Cylon. Enjoy the show. Alrighty, we are here with the one and only Goldie Chan, who inspired a voice crack with her name coming out of my mouth right there. So that was a hot start. But Goldie, you know her from all over LinkedIn and social media. You know her from Warm Robots. You know her from her hot, brand new, spanking, off the press book, or maybe coming out soon book at the time that you're hearing this, watching this, Personal Branding for Introverts. Goldie, without a voice crack. Thank you so much for joining. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for making time for this. I've been enjoying your content online for a long, long time, and so glad we can finally make this happen. But before we get to your angle on personal branding that you're talking about with this book as far as the introvert side of things, you kind of were like a real trendsetter, trailblazer, all those, you know, overused terms in terms of LinkedIn, and like actually treating LinkedIn as like a way to create content and like put videos out there. Like, what the hell were you thinking?
I like the way that you phrase that. I got so much very light hate mail during the first 3 months I created videos on LinkedIn. In fact, one of my friends at the time made me a t-shirt. I still have it somewhere. And it has my first hate comment on it to one of my posts. And it was a very light hate comment. It basically was a troll that said, why are you making these videos on LinkedIn? They should be on Facebook. Why are you not on Facebook right now? Like, how dare you be on LinkedIn? And I thought it was so funny. And I'm glad that was my first real big hate comment, because it was just hilarious. It was also so long. It was like two sentences long. And I think when I started to create content on LinkedIn, so I'll back up. So I had been working in digital marketing for over a decade. I had a very serious career, mostly in the Bay Area and the tech scene, a little bit in Los Angeles in entertainment, all in digital marketing, all in community management and social media. And I left a head of marketing job in 2017. And during this 1 month I took off, which I'm going to very generously call a sabbatical, because that's like a nice way of saying that I wasn't gainfully employed. I took this month off, and then I said, okay, during this month off, I want to be doing something that doesn't look quite like I had a gap. Like, I was doing something, and it just needs to be anything, right? And I'm sure we've all been that place where you do like a side project of some sort. So my side project was, I got into the LinkedIn video beta, totally had, you know, I posted every once in a while on LinkedIn. I think I had 300 followers on the platform, and I got into the video beta, and there was maybe 20 of us in the video beta at the time, and I just started making videos. But what I did that was different than everyone else is I started doing daily videos. And Max, I'm sure this is also how you saw me. I did over 800 daily consecutive videos. And of those 800 daily consecutive videos, I think the majority of people who even followed me maybe saw like 50 or 100 of those videos. But I did them every single day for 800 days. So over 2 years worth of daily consecutive videos, which I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. And I think going back on it, why did I choose LinkedIn? It was actually funny that I thought no one's going to see these videos. That's why I chose LinkedIn. I was like, nobody's going to see these. I'm going to sandbox. I'm going to play around on this platform. Nobody is like, it's the uncool platform. So I know I have a hilarious nickname. It's the Oprah of LinkedIn. The other nickname that I have every once in a while is the Queen of Uncool, because I was at the top of this, you know, LinkedIn, the uncool platform, which I still think is really funny. And when I got to that point where I started creating so many videos, people just naturally started to see me. Like, Max, you found me, I'm sure, through my video content and all of that stuff, because it just was, I was making so much of it that it naturally showed up on so many people's feeds. Not even because every single video I did was a gem, but because I was so consistent.
Yeah, and you mentioned those 800 videos, and you did all those in the matter of 48 hours. So it's pretty incredible, quite the marathon that you did. But no, I think the lessons you can take from that are like consistency, but also the fact of kind of like, what do they call it? Blue ocean strategy of kind of like finding a space where people aren't doing that thing yet and doing it. And it's actually really fascinating that you're like, you weren't kind of thinking of it that way. It was just like, hey, no one's going to see this. Why not kind of mess around and see? And then
yeah, I think that actually there. It was perfect timing for me. And it just was like a good moment, because I think that I started creating without the expectation of being a hit. I think so many people, for example, start YouTube channels now with the expectation that it will be a huge hit. Like, you make a YouTube channel because you're trying to be something, you're trying to build your brand a certain way, you're trying to create content. And I would say even now, people are doing that on LinkedIn because they think and they hope that their LinkedIn channel becomes a big thing. And I see people who started after me, and it's funny to me because their whole thing is like, oh, I started very strategically. I started making videos, and the videos were like, I started with like a 30-day plan of my videos. And I started with a plan of I'm making 2 videos and who knows if they'll work. Also, who knows if they'll upload, because at the time, especially the first month of LinkedIn videos, the software just being in beta was not always reliable. So I remember I had one video of my first 100 videos where I literally was trying to upload in the airport. It wouldn't upload. So I shot another like 10 second video of me running down the gangplank to like get onto the airplane, being like, I'm trying to upload this video, guys, for you today. And then that was the video that that was the video that uploaded when I was literally sitting on the plane. Like, that was the one video that uploaded because it was shorter and it worked. So like, I had this beautiful edited video that I couldn't even upload at the time because it was still in beta. It was a product that was still in beta. And it is funny to me, too, how you can sometimes fall into things.
I think anybody can relate to that who's been like active posting out on social media. There's nothing more stressful than like when you have a limited time window to get something out, and then it's just like stuck circling, uploading. And like that's,
yeah, that's
especially
the worst.
If you're sitting on a plane, because then it's like, yeah, you're literally about to lose all connection there.
You're about to take off and you are just like, oh no, I'm about to put my phone in airplane mode because I am a good citizen. And I always do that. I always put my phone in airplane mode. I know some people don't, but I always do it. I always put them in airplane mode, and it always stresses me out when I have like that last minute thing that I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to respond to this. I need to respond to this right away. And thankfully now on airplanes, like, the difference is now we have Wi-Fi on a lot of airplanes and stuff like that too. So, but Wi-Fi on airplanes is not meant for video uploads. Wi-Fi on airplanes is meant for text posts at most. So relying on that for video uploads, which you're actually not supposed to do because it's in your terms of service usually to not do videos on
that's why you got to make sure you read all those terms of service.
That's why you
sentence.
Have to read all those. Yeah, exactly. You have to read all the terms of service.
Shout out my mom, because she is a hardcore not adopter of airplane mode. And by that, I mean, she still turns off her phone when the plane takes off. And so she totally
turns it off completely.
Yeah, exactly.
Good for her. Yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, oh, she leaves it on and she tries to get that last
minute.
Yeah,
she calls the pilot. No.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you've been on those planes. I've been on an airplane where people are literally finishing their call as the airplane is ascending. And I'm just like, stop. Stop it. Stop it.
Hey, you. Hit them with like a ruler or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get to Warm Robots, which is a fantastic name. Where did that idea for the name itself come from in the first place?
Yeah, so it's funny because my company came about before all the AI hype. And so now everyone thinks it's related to AI. It's not at all related to AI. It's related to something.
No, you said Warm Robots.
Warm Robots, yeah. Robots. Yeah, exactly. It is related to something very incredibly nerdy, and that is Battlestar Galactica. So I really like Battlestar Galactica. It's a sci-fi show, for those of you that don't know.
I just know it from Dwight from The Office, the Beats Bears Battlestar Galactica, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not the coolest sci-fi show, but it's one of my favorites. And actually, my handle on Instagram is Goldie Cylon. It's also a Battlestar Galactica reference, and Warm Robots refers to android humanoid, like humanoid robots, basically. So it refers to the ability to not only process data, but to be warm and human at the same time. And so that's why I named my agency Warm Robots, because it is being thoughtful, it's being analytic, but also has that humanity built in. So yeah, that's why I named it Warm Robots.
Wow. Well, and the your arch rival, the Cold Humans agency, yeah, is going to be really upset with that. But I guess where along in the timeline was this? Like, had you started doing like those LinkedIn videos before the agency? Like, what's the chicken or the egg there?
No. So I'll give you the exact timeline of this. So I started creating videos on LinkedIn, once again, with the thought that in a month I would stop doing them and I would apply for jobs and I would be gainfully employed. So, and I kept making videos, and the videos just started opening doors. Like, I started getting people who requested me to work with them in terms of branding. I was getting requests of folks who wanted me to do consulting work. And because I got all these requests to do consulting work and things like that, I thought, okay, great. I'm going to make an agency that kind of houses all of this consulting work. So really, the first thing that started was making LinkedIn videos, and then so many doors opened because of that. And I want to really shout out also the fact that part of why I think my videos did so well is because I was so genuinely excited at the time to make videos. It wasn't for a business use case. It wasn't for a strategy. I see so many people do what is funny to me is, like, they're like, this is me authentically on camera. And then they're like, here's a real selfie of me. But it's still strategic. Like, they are very specifically trying to make themselves feel vulnerable and close.
By the way, more people should say that this is a real selfie. Like, explicitly, yeah, call it out like that. Video. This is not strategy.
This is not strategy. But I think that we as humans, we totally resonate, and we just viscerally, like as animals, feel when somebody is being really real on camera. Like, we feel that. And I think that's why when you see somebody who's a great actor, it's because we really believe them in that role. So we want to believe in each other. We want to be able to see each other as human beings. And as warm robots.
So how did you, I mean, you've had this thing running for years now. You kind of dive into a few different spaces in the digital and brand building space. But how did you, and I won't let you say due to your video prowess, how did you start to win kind of some big and notable clients in like the early days of this thing?
One thing that I did was I proved my expertise early on. So while I was making those videos, they weren't just videos of me just hanging out and being cool, because I'm not very cool, right? I'm the queen of uncool. So like
I'll call you the queen of cool as well, but we'll
right,
take it.
Thank you. But I was making videos a lot on branding and marketing. So I was doing a lot of pop culture branding and marketing. So my first 100 videos were all on pop culture branding and marketing. And people were finding these videos and thinking like, oh, that's interesting. Like, that's interesting knowledge. Like, I basically was doing walking Wikipedia, I guess, if that makes sense. So I'd walk and talk at the same time and do. And so originally, it's like, I will say this, some of the first stickers LinkedIn did for a LinkedIn video, like Walk and Talk, are inspired by the videos I did, which is kind of cool. So, but I would say that is what opened the door to clients. It wasn't that I was just being on camera. It was that I said, here's my subject matter expertise, and this is what I know how to do, And this is what I'm going to talk about. And because I was talking also just very off the cuff, very casual, then it really affirms that that is something that I'm actually an expert in, right? Because I'm able to just talk about it casually, like you and I are talking casually right now.
Yeah. Well, madam, we could take this formal if you'd like me to speak formally, but yeah. I don't even know if madam's a proper term. So
I think it is.
It's interesting. Thank you. Cheers. Thank you. So I think if you look at any part of like the content world, you know, like any part of marketing, it changes so much year to year or month to month, day to day, seemingly. What has changed about Worm Robots? It'd be nice if I could pronounce your company right. Worm Robots today compared to what it's like in the early days, like as far as you specialize and focus there.
Oh my gosh, yes. So I would say in the early days of the agency, it truly was a hub for everything in a very, you know, whatever consulting I was doing, whatever I got tasked to do, it was an all-in-one shop there. And it was everything branding and marketing under the sun. And since then, as I'm sure you've talked to so many people who run agencies, it narrowed down. You know, sometimes I think some agencies expand over time and they offer more things. And for me, it's definitely narrowed down. It's become hyper-focused. So a lot of what I do is personal branding strategy with director level or above, with C-level executives. I do quite a bit of strategy around ambassador groups and around building communities and things like that. And then I sometimes do fold in some of my ambassador work. So like I work with brands like Adobe and Microsoft. I fold a lot of that also into my agency work and a little bit of public speaking. But before, it was really the catch-all of everything under the sun. And we were talking in the green room right before we started recording about how content marketing is so tough these days, right? Because you need to specialize. Like you need to niche down. You need to have a focus to what you're doing.
And shout out the green room. With most guests, it's just the room, but with you, it is the green room.
It is the green room. I like to say that because the green room is the room you go to before you go on stage.
Yeah, exactly. That's an interesting area there that you talk about partnering for, you know, Adobe and Microsoft and like huge brands like that. What's like the biggest difference to your approach when you're working on content for like these huge, massive companies like that versus maybe if you were just doing something for yourself or personal brand?
Obviously, when I do stuff for massive brands, there's usually brand guidelines. So there's usually...
Could you imagine if you just totally go against those and post it
yeah.
without
their... Yeah, oops. You know, I literally have a course on LinkedIn Learning called Brand Reputation Management. So I would be the last person to do that. But it would be fun to, I guess, do something very off-brand. It's funny because I myself, as you know, because the green hair and everything, I myself exist as a brand. So even I have kind of internal brand guidelines for what I will and will not do. But when I work with a brand, it's different brand guidelines. It's what they feel is good and what they want to express their brand with. And when I work these major brands, a lot of it is, okay, how creative and how big can I get, but within these guidelines? That's how I think about it. So I think also a lot of times, because when I'm getting sponsored content, I can do a little bit more. I have a little bit more budget for things. So sometimes I like to do things that are a little bit bigger, a little bit more fun, a little bit more experimental if they're open to it. And not every brand is, right? And I will say Adobe is really great about being open to that. But I will say other brands that I've worked with in the past, who I'm not going to name, some of them are not so open to the more experimental content. They just want it straight down the line. They're like, I want you to talk about the product. I want you to promote the product. And then I want you to give us a video doing that. And I totally understand that. But I think it's really fun when brands trust the creators and the ambassadors they work with to give them the freedom to say, like, do something really fun and interesting and weird, right?
Yeah, and that's, you know, you're pointing fingers at me there. When we paid you $2 trillion to represent Max Podcasting, we're like, you know, no, Goldie,
Max
only talk
podcasting.
About podcasting.
Yeah, no. Max Podcasting, listen now.
Yeah,
wait,
exactly.
I have to say, I will say this. You're not paying me to do this, but I will say this. Everyone, if you're listening to this podcast or if you enjoyed any of these episodes, please make sure to drop a rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening because ratings help every single podcast and you want to help this podcast because you're listening to it.
Thank you so much. You're going to make me cry. And also, I'm looking at my phone now. We're actively losing ratings as you're... No, I'm just kidding.
No.
Thank you so much, though. I really appreciate that. Yeah, it's true. In the early days of the podcast, I was very active about reaching out to people to like remind them to rate and review. And then it's like anything in content marketing. It's like when you have so many episodes and you get kind of tired of saying the same sort of CTA at the end. So
totally.
It was due for that.
Totally.
Thank
you. I said the CTA for you. So everyone listening to this, I'm Max's guest. And please rate this podcast well, because not only am I on it, but Max has been doing this for so long. So that rating is an extra affirmation that he's doing a good job.
Thank you. Thank you. And then we'll put a little LinkedIn good job sticker up there as well.
Yeah, the good job sticker.
So branding actually brings us to your book, Personal Branding for Introverts. So congrats, brand new book, exciting, exciting focus, niche, however you want to say it. I hate that whole dynamic. I can't believe I brought that up again. Anyway, Personal Branding for Introverts. So this caught my eye and is really cool and unique because, as you know, and you are one, there are a lot of speakers out there who talk about personal branding and a lot of people who have expertise in it. But not many people talk about it from the side of introverts. And I think one of the great things that's come across, I guess that's come more to the forefront over the past couple decades in the world of social media is kind of the greater focus on people being open with like mental health and being more vulnerable and talking about things like that. And it's a little bit different, but introverts, I think probably when you first heard the term introverts, or like when we were growing up, and far less people would like admit to being introverts or even knew what it was. And now you're hearing more and more people like, actually, like, you know, I'm that way, or like, I'm that way a lot of the time. So before we even get into the whole personal branding side, what's something that's important to know about introverts or people that might sometimes be introverted?
I could just do a textbook definition for you of introverts, but that's boring. So instead, I'm going to talk about something totally different.
Extroverts. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to talk about only extroverts. I'm going to talk about something that so many introvert books out there and introvert everything out there is like quiet, quiet revolution, quiet something, quiet the other thing. And I personally feel like introverts can be, and I talk about this in my book, introverts can be loud introverts. And I think that when you're an introvert who is really excited and really passionate and you really care about something, you can be such a loud introvert. You can be a public speaker like I am and still be an introvert. You can do video content. You can run massive groups, because I know introverts who run literally groups of like 50,000 people or more. And they're introverts, and they can do this because they really care about the group that they're running. And so I want to throw out there that there are loud introverts in the world, and that saying that all introverts are quiet is such a lie. That's my hot take for today. Saying that all introverts are quiet 100% of the time is the biggest lie about introverts and the definition of introverts. So I personally am such an advocate for saying that introverts can be loud introverts. It is absolutely possible for them to be loud introverts. It is absolutely possible for introverts then to build a brand without becoming extroverts, because I think that's the second lie, is that introverts have to become extroverts and have to be loud then all the time in order to be seen and be heard. But I think so many introverts just need a little bit of a push in the right direction where they are just still expressing themselves as an introvert. They're still being an introvert, but they're maybe thinking about other venues that they will shine.
Can you share from your own experience, like in a given day, when are like the times that you feel kind of, I guess, more like an introvert, and when do you, I guess, do something to change that?
I don't know so much changing, because once again, I'm like anti the change thing where everybody's like, oh, you're an introvert, you need to change to an
introvert.
Yeah,
and by that I mean like totally cool being an introvert. I just mean I'm an idiot who can't talk. So
no, I definitely think of it as like recharging your introvert batteries, because I think like introverts, we all have batteries that go bloop, and then you need to recharge them, you need to refill them. So I think whenever my introvert battery is low, and I will say this, yesterday was just for me personally, I had like a day where I was, I think, in like 4 different interviews or something like that. And then I went to work out, and then I had a doctor's appointment, and then I went all the way across town to something else and did another interview and stuff like that. And it was just like a long day. And me as an introvert, that just really bloop, like my battery went all the way down to the very bottom. And one of the things that I do, and I made sure I did this throughout the day, is one, drink water. That's just like a basic human thing. You should do that if you're introvert or extrovert. But two is I tried to make sure I took like the world's tiniest walk outside. So the moment I had just like a little bit of time, 5 minutes, I just made sure I at least like circled the room. I took a little walk. I like got up from sitting instead of immediately diving into 50 million emails. I just changed my physical stance a little bit, and that helped me. I also definitely, that night, I definitely made sure that I took some time to just turn off my brain. I did the off brain time just to recharge, where I wasn't speaking on camera, where I wasn't doing any of that, where I was relaxing and I was just enjoying my time. And that to me also really helps. I do like a little bit of meditation here and there. So that also is like another thing to add onto the pile of things that help me recharge my little introvert battery. So those were a few things I did on a day that was really tough for me. Not because any particular person, I actually posted about it on LinkedIn. And then I feel bad because there's a couple of people that I actually had meetings with were like, was I the reason why that day? And I had to be like, oh my gosh, no, like not that, that's not what I meant. I just meant it was a long day because it was just a very long day. But I think that it was really helpful for me to do those little things that just take me out of the situation of it being a long day, like just changing physically where I am or taking that time to make sure that I'm taking care of myself.
Well, I'm excited to check LinkedIn after this and see a post from Goldie Chan. Just had the most draining interview of all time. Please, no one go on Wild Business Growth. If you're invited, send it back.
No, we already talked about this once again in the green room that I'm going to send some more folks your way. I'm pretty sure you may have, because this podcast has been going on for such a long time, you may have already interviewed them. But in case you haven't, I definitely want to send you some names for this podcast.
Yeah, no, really, really appreciate that. Those are a lot of great tips that you shared. The buzzy, interesting, oh, I've never heard that word that stuck out to me, or phrase, was off-brain time. Because we talk a lot about like the need to unplug. And I always talk about this with my wife, Dana, of like after work, and like she's like, do you want me to do the dishes or I'll do the dishes? You know, it's like if I still have a lot of work that day, I'm like, no, like I'll seriously, even if it's late, like I will do the dishes later. Because like I stare at a screen all day long, I find it calming to literally just like do dishes and like clean up, like even if it's like late and everybody's asleep. And I'm just like, you need that time to turn off your brain, no matter what it is. I feel like it's, I guess this is a more recent term. I'm going to sound like a dinosaur, but like in the like gaming community, when they talk about touching grass.
Yeah.
I feel like that's so relevant for like adults and not non-gamers as well, as like
100%. And it's very
real. Look at grass. Yeah. Like even just get yourself away and like, yeah. I like how you said,
I was reading somewhere that if you are literally around trees and you touch trees, there's a chemical that we as humans release that's like I forget which one it is, but it's a positive chemical, and it makes us feel more calm and centered. And so it's not just meditative, it's an actual chemical reaction that happens in your body because you touched a living tree. And that to me brings back the point that we're humans, we're animals, where it's funny how we work. We're not, you know, as much as I call my agency warm robots, we're not robots. We still need that time off. We still need to take care of ourselves. I'm sure that the system that you have with your wife is like very thoughtful, where you ask each other who wants to take care of this. And that also is a version of taking care of each other too, of course. And I like to do the same with my partner. But I think that it's so helpful to, yes, get out there and touch grass. And if the grass is gross around where you are, don't actually touch it. But, you know, go out and like witness the grass, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Even looking at it, or like going to, if you don't, if you're like in a real crunch before your next meeting and like don't have time to actually go for a walk, well, you could do a mini walk, like you said, but you could like just go out to your window and look outside and like look, especially if you're someone like me who's in like the podcast editing space, or like if you're in the video production space, like it's really, really important to like refresh your eyes and look at something in the distance and take some breaths, calm, take some, who was it? Jay Gow, I think is his name, from the James Altucher show. I butchered that name, but he had a really good LinkedIn post about how he, like when you're an editor and you're listening to stuff all day, like he makes sure that there's at least an hour every day where he just doesn't listen to anything, like doesn't play music, doesn't play podcasts, you know, even when he's like off the clock, just to like give kind of your ears a break. So it's, I guess we're just attacking all senses here one by one.
That's right. That's what this is. This podcast is just doing that.
Yeah, exactly. Sponsored by the Sixth Sense. So let's talk about the Seventh Sense, personal branding. So like,
yes,
back to how introverts and or introvertdom and personal branding are tied together. If you're someone who's an introvert, what are some key things to keep in mind when it comes to making a personal brand for yourself and growing that personal brand?
Absolutely. So I think a lot about the five C's of personal branding. And today I will only talk about one of those C's, and that is consistency. So that's the way that I personally blew up on LinkedIn, and I garnered an entire following. I have over 100,000 followers on LinkedIn right now. And of course, there are people who have more followers than I do, right? And there are people who have fewer followers than I do. So but I grew my following by being incredibly consistent. It wasn't that every single day was the most beautiful gem that I've released ever, and it wasn't well edited, because I'll be honest, because I was doing all the videos myself and releasing them, I think the first couple of videos weren't edited at all. Like, I only knew how to trim the front and the back end of a clip. So it was these videos that were literally like, they were so long, they were too long, and it was just me walking around because I didn't know how to edit. So it's like, if I ever fumbled or dropped the phone, there was no editing. It just, you saw that fumble, you saw me drop the phone, because I was filming them all on my phone. So I do think that consistency is so important. So if you're out there listening to this and you're an introvert and you think it's so overwhelming to develop my personal brand, I suggest, and you're thinking about content in particular, I suggest, of course, not daily content, but if you can even commit to, I'm going to post once a week, or if that's even too much, I'm going to post once a month. So that's 12 times a year. You can make the commitment that in 2026 that you will post 12 times. That is so doable. Every single person has at least 20 minutes in an entire month to find time to write a single post or post a photo or do whatever. And I think it's all about consistency. So if you can consistently stick with posting once a month for 3 months, then maybe the next 3 months you post once every other week. Then maybe after that you post once a week, right? And then you stick with that consistency of posting once a week for a while. And then maybe you get to up to twice a week or whatever that eventual cadence that you want to hit is. I think it's so helpful to think about consistency.
Absolutely. And consistency ends in the C sound as well. So I'm going to dock you for doing two C's, not one, like you said. That's pretty good though. But yeah, that's a great lesson. What about, I mean, we talked about the like off brain time and like how, like, you know, all of us need some time to, I'm not going to do the sound as good as you, but the recharge the batteries.
Yeah.
What would you say is like a good split, I guess? I know everybody's different, but like how much of your day should you focus on being kind of like productive and efficient versus working in those, you know, touching tree time?
Well, I think it obviously depends on what your workload is, but I think about one exercise I go over in the book is called ideal daydreaming. And that's thinking holistically, like throughout the entire day. And that includes the time you spend with your family, with your loved ones. What does your ideal day look like? And I give an example of one of my guy friends, and he travels the world. He eventually settled down with his partner in a different country, not in the US, not gonna say which one, but his ideal day is exactly the day that he lives now. And he's been dreaming about this day. He's been focusing on having this day be real for so long, and now it is real. He gets up in the morning, he makes breakfast for himself and his partner, they eat breakfast together, then they split off, they both work from home. So he'll be there answering his emails and whatnot, she'll be there doing her writing, etc. They'll split off, they'll do work, and then they come back together for lunch. He makes lunch, they maybe eat outside on their porch. Very nice, right? And they get that outside time, they get time away from their computers, their devices, their whatever, their work. And then they go back and then they do work or they have meetings or they have whatever in the afternoon, which is usually that time they set aside actually for that. They go off, run errands, etc. And then at night, I think this is so cool. At night when they have supper, when they have dinner, they will actually a lot of times go and have dinner with their neighbors, or they will go out and eat. And like, that's the time that they step out of the house and they take that time out because they cook all of their other meals. But I think it's like so beautiful and communal. But also that day is thinking like really not just about work. I think so many people focus on only the work part of your career, but your career has so much to do with your life around it. I also always hope that if you are thinking about your career, that you have so many other beautiful things around that career.
Yeah, that is beautiful. Yeah, yeah. I want to have dinner with them right after this. That sounds wonderful.
At the supper on their terrace, right? Yeah.
What's something, as you're writing this book and researching for this book, I don't know what that word was.
You're okay.
I just burped the word book.
Yeah.
What's something that really kind of surprised you, took you off guard, but you realize it's like a key insight in terms of personal branding for introverts?
Gosh, I would say the loud introvert thing that I mentioned before. I just realized as I was rereading so many other introvert books and introvert sites and things like that, I realized how many things had the word quiet in it. And so I wanted to very specifically put the word loud in my book. And I also wanted my book not to have the word quiet in there anywhere, you know, anywhere in the title, in the subtitle, anywhere. So that was one thing. And I will say another surprising thing for me was I told a few of my stories, like my personal stories in this book. And one of them is, and I think this is funny because I forget how much people love this story. I was once in the prime minister's house, like prime minister of London, right? So like very, very big, important place. People with machine guns are there. It is going inside. You have to like go through all these metal detectors. You have to like get everything scanned. The security is very high. And I was in the prime minister's garden. And I remember just being so overwhelmed as an introvert with anxiety in this garden. So I know where in the garden to hide. There's like literally it's the corner, the far right. They have this like weird tall chair thing. And then it's right next to it. I can just like barely fit my body in that space. And then no one knew that I was there. And I literally just hid there for I think at least 10 minutes, 5 to 10 minutes. I'm sure time passed a lot more slowly than I thought it did. And then I came out and then I hid in the bathroom. I'll be totally honest. I ran to the bathroom. I hid in the bathroom. And I just had to do that because that was like a very introvert moment where I felt overwhelmed and I just wasn't in the mood or I wasn't able to, I just wasn't able to be you know, on point and be networking and doing all those things. And I think so many introverts have this struggle and then we feel bad. We feel shamed for doing those things. We feel like we shouldn't be doing those things. But I want to offer that it's totally normal and healthy to do those things.
I'm visualizing the Homer Simpson in the bushes meme.
Yeah, it was literal. And this was before the Homer Simpson meme.
You created it.
Came, I think maybe before, maybe after, but it was definitely me like just doing this.
I don't know. They say the Simpsons predicts everything. So yes, no matter what came first, they called it
literally going into the bushes. But yes, I know. And also there was a lot of spiders there and I'm thankful I'm not super afraid of spiders. But if you were ever in the prime minister's garden, you were looking for a place to hide and you're afraid of spiders, do not hide in the same place I hid.
Did I mention how relatable that was? Let's switch gears a little bit. A couple quick kind of wackier segments to wrap up here. First one's called The Unusual. So I'm not going to let you say a story about a time that you hid in the prime minister's bushes, just in case it's relevant for one of the answers again. Not that that would come up. But this is like interesting aspects of your personality that kind of just make you who you are. Like, I love hearing from entrepreneurs about like what they are outside of work as well. And so first thing is quirks. What's something a little quirky about your personality, but it's who you are. You got to love it.
I like to say that I'm a sea monkey rancher. So I raise sea monkeys, which are brine shrimp. I am part of many sea monkey Facebook groups, and the top YouTubers who do sea monkey videos know who I am. So I'm, so out of, you know, the 20 people who do sea monkey collecting, I'm one of the 20 that they know.
Oh my God. That's so, I love when crazy coincidences like this happen. So I'm number 19 on the list. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes!
No. We've been watching Big Bang Theory. And some episode like a week ago, I think it was Sheldon brought up sea monkeys. And I was like, oh my God, I haven't thought about sea monkeys in forever. And so they're looked it up. I'm like, what are they? And I'm like, wait, they're actually shrimp, like some type of shrimp?
They're brine shrimp that are cryogenically or something, right?
They're Han Solo'd.
Yeah, they're Han Solo'd. The eggs just need to stay dry, and then you rehydrate the eggs, and then life springs from them, which is really cool if you think about it.
And as a little kid, you know, you think they're like real monkeys too, so that's pretty cool.
I mean, yeah, as a little kid, you think they're real monkeys because they misrepresented it in the advertisements for them, and then as an adult, I'm just like, yeah, brine shrimp.
Sea shrimp, aka shrimp.
Sea shrimp.
All right, what is a pet peeve you have? Just something, it could be in the social media world, it could be not, something that just kind of grinds your gears a little bit.
My pet peeve is when you are clearly taking a picture and a photo op, and then the person walks in front of you and I totally get when there's no room and they have to walk in front of you. Of course, that makes sense. But when there's so much room and then they make the choice to like dart in front of the person taking the photo for you and then go right in front, that's my pet peeve.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. If anybody sees Goldie taking pictures out, you know what not to do.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Next time you see her in the bushes.
Yeah.
And then what's I call them weird talents, but it's also like a party trick. What's something that you're really good at, but it has no impact on anything?
I don't know if this is a party trick or weird talent, but I also cosplay. So I was just at San Diego Comic-Con, and there's a big movie that's out right now on Netflix called K-Pop Demon Hunters, which I very much like, and I've watched it too many times, and I watched it in theaters, I've done the sing-along, and so I actually cosplayed with my partner. I made him a cosplay because I used to more professionally cosplay, but I made him a cosplay, and we cosplayed as like two of the characters from the show, and it was great because all these little kids came up to us, and they were just like, oh my gosh, you are like this character. And then the best part is, I love kids because they came up to me, they're like, oh, you're this character. And they're like, that's not my favorite character. I like the other character. And I'm just so like, blunt. Oh, okay. Okay. I see how it is. Because it's a trio of girls. And then I was doing one of the characters, Zoe, and they really liked the main character, Rumi. So they kept coming up to me being like, Rumi's my favorite. And I'm like, well, thanks, kid. You know, like.
Wow. Well, you're my favorite character, Goldie. So you're number one in my book.
Thanks.
All right, let's wrap it up with some rapid fire Q&A. You ready for it?
Yeah.
All right, let's get wild. Couldn't resist. I know you've been asked many times, but I have to hear it from you, straight from the Goldie's mouth. The green hair, how did that become kind of like a trademark and iconic branding aspect for you?
Yeah, so the green hair happened. I had a million different hair colors before green. I just like having colored hair. It just is fun. Why not? You're an adult. You can do what you want, right? Yay.
People forget that.
And green, ironically, is my favorite color. But I just happened to do green hair for the first time. I had never done green. I'd done all these other colors and cycled back over time. And I just happened to have lime green, like tennis green hair, right when I started to blow up on LinkedIn. And people started to drop the green heart emoji on LinkedIn when they would see my posts and stuff. And then I thought, just as a branding person, like very reactively, like, oh, that's cool. Maybe I should keep the green hair for a little bit longer. And I've kept it ever since 2017. So outside of a brief period of time where I didn't have it for medical reasons, I've had my green hair the entire time.
Holy moly. It's incredible. And I want to see pictures of the million different colors that you mentioned before. Yeah. That goes beyond the visible
color spectrum. Yeah, it was like white spectrum at one point.
All right. What I saw on your LinkedIn resume, if you will, that you do some writing for comics. What's a tip for anybody in terms of making really, really good, doing some good comic writing?
Oh gosh. So I write for Archie Comics. I'll just say it out loud. Super Americana. I'm such a huge nerd fan of them. And I'm so thankful I get to be a writer for them. I think anyone out there who's thinking about doing comics and wants to make their own original comic, I would definitely also say, like, make your own original comics. It always is the story. So what is an interesting story that you can share? And for those of you out there who are illustrators, drawers, or the writer is part of it, it's all about the story. It's all about, like, what is that story that would be interesting to share? One of the most popular web comics out there that became this entire brand is Lore Olympus. And that started from just being a simple web comic, a simple story they wanted to share.
That's so good. You're living your dream.
Yeah.
All right. And then I have to ask you another LinkedIn tip. So yeah, there's a great debate about this. And this is probably going to be super outdated by the time people listen. But I have to ask you. There's a whole debate about if you're linking to something on LinkedIn, do you put it in the post or the comments? What's your take on it?
I think that if you want to know what LinkedIn prefers, like LinkedIn internally prefers and will serve up in the feed, I think that no one knows except for the person who's at LinkedIn who works on that. That's my official take. My personal take is I do try to mostly drop things into the comments. But I actually do about half and half these days. I will put it in the post itself because I do think it's easier to find it in the main post. And then if I do in the main post, I will also drop it as a comment. So I'll double drop that link.
Oh, double drop that thing. Wow. Double drop. That has the potential to go viral. Haktua 2.0. All right. And then last thing. This might come at a great surprise for those who don't know you well, but one of the most amazing things about your story is you're a cancer survivor. And I think for somebody who's been through what you've been through to have such a positive outlook and, you know, approach things and inspire people the way that you do is it just makes it that much more inspiring. What can you share about just kind of what you've learned and how it's shaped your outlook, I guess, from the whole experience?
Yeah, I would say that obviously it really changed. It really changed my FOMO, which is, you know, fear of missing out, to, I would say, LOMO, lack of missing out. I stopped worrying all the time about all these other people who are booking gigs. And I'm sure we've all been in this space, right? Like, oh, this person got this client, or this person got this speaking gig, or this person got this and that. And you feel like, why didn't I get that? Or like, I think I'm kind of at their level. Like, I wish I got that. And that's that FOMO speaking. And I think having a major health crisis like that, it really removed 99% of that, because I was, for especially right after I finished the first round of treatment, thankful to be alive. And that thankful to be alive energy is so strong. And it's honestly, at the end of the day, it's more important and it's more what you end up focusing on than the, like, I didn't get that tiny speaking gig that this other person who's at my level got. I just don't care as much about those things. And I think to me, that was a great gift of going through a major health crisis and a major change in my life.
Usually we wrap up with final thoughts, but nothing could possibly top that. Thank you so much, Goldie.
Thank you.
Big fan of you and your story. And
thank you.
Thanks for making time today and sharing all of that. Last thing though, where is the best place, your preferred way for people to get personal branding for introverts? And before you say that, I will say for those tuning in, make sure to connect/follow Goldie on LinkedIn as well as on Instagram at Goldie Cylon, like you said earlier. But where's the best place for the book?
So the best place for a book, you can find it at goldiechan.com/book. I listed all the different places that you can buy my book online. Some of them are indie bookstores. So please, if you can, shop small.
And if you can, be gold like Goldie. Thank you so much, Goldie, for coming on Wild Business Growth, sharing your unbelievable story. And thank you, Wild listeners, for tuning in to another episode. If you want to hear more wild stories like this one, make sure to follow or subscribe to Wild Business Growth on your favorite podcast app, wherever you listen to podcasts, and hit subscribe on YouTube. YouTube is at Max Brandstetter. That's where you can find the video versions where when Goldie's episode comes out. She will have, in fact, green hair. You can learn all things about me, about Max Podcasting, about the Podcasting to the Max newsletter every Thursday at maxpodcasting.com. And until next time, let your business run wild.
Bring on the bongos!